Hey everyone, Alan here, creator and host of Script to Screen. I've always been a fan of podcasts, and when I was still in college, I always wanted to host one, but it wasn't that simple back then. Nowadays, the options are endless, but there's only one that can help you and your podcast reach listeners and grow with your vision. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it is 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise on your podcast. That means you can get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's exactly what I'm doing right now by reading this ad. Anchor has been Script to Screen's home since I first started the podcast, and I couldn't be happier. Not only is it simple for uploading episodes, but fans can also reach out to us by sending voice messages and be featured on the show. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast and make money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start. Again, that's anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. Send me a link when you're done. I can't wait to hear your podcast.
And now, a brand new episode of the Script to Screen News Hour here on Radio Lebanon 96.2 FM with hosts Alan Mahana and Hod Solo.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Script to Screen News Hour here on Radio Lebanon 96.2 FM. I'm your host, Alan Mahana, and boy, oh boy, what a week. What a week it has been in the film and television industry. It seems the closer we get to Christmas, the more chaotic things get, the more towards 2019 that we get, the crazier things get. Daredevil Season 3 is now available on Netflix, and the reviews are proclaiming it is just as powerful as the first season. Luke Cage follows his buddy Iron Fist down the aisle of canceled shows, deleting any hope of seeing the duo together on screen. What this means for the Defenders, we will have to wait and see. John Krasinski is writing the sequel to his unforgettable A Quiet Place, so I guess this is a step in the right direction. Spider-Man Far From Home wraps, and Tom Holland reveals a new Spidey suit. In the land of Westeros, rumors are rising regarding the spin-off series. On top of all that, the Monsterverse continues moving forward. James Bond might finally have a new face. Dracula is definitely getting a new face. And the latest step from the director that Hod and I absolutely adore is sadly a massive disappointment. So it's easy to say we've got a massive episode for you today. So let's not float around in deep space for too long. And let's talk about all this stuff with the solo to my Chewbacca, the one, the only Hod Solo.
Hello, hello, hello. How you doing?
Well, I just listed off a million different things.
There's so much going on.
There's so much, man. There's so much. But this is what I love about the film and television industry is that it's never lacking of things going on.
Yeah, absolutely. We're never going to get bored. We're always going to have stuff to talk about.
Abso-frickin-lutely.
News, 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 stories, stories, stories. Pretty excited, very pumped, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. And as always, we have a film of the week this week.
Yes,
we both
do.
Got to see a movie. Granted, there was no premiere for it, so this was a solo to solo kind
of. Yeah, it's the first time in a while we watch a movie separately.
Yes. We watched the same movie,
but
we did see it separately.
Yeah.
You saw it Wednesday evening, and I saw it Thursday afternoon during the day. So let's not waste too much time here. Let's jump right in and talk about the movie of the week, which is Damien Chazelle's First Man.
You're down here and you look up and you don't think about it too much, but space exploration changes your perception. And it allows us to see things that we should have seen a long time ago.
We have serious problems.
We've got this under control.
You're a bunch of boys. You don't have anything under control.
So here we go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
I've decided to do this every time we have a movie of the week, is take like the final kind of climactic segment of the trailer.
Yeah, I like that.
Just bring it in just to pump everybody up.
Yeah.
So let's start. We're going to do what we did with A Star Is Born,
yep,
which is start digging deeper into these films, not just kind of brush things off, but really, really dig things up and talk about them. And it was really successful, I think, last week. We got some really cool feedback from people who got to see us digging into the film. So let's do that.
Let's do that, yeah.
Starting every week now, you know? Okay, so this is a film that's reuniting Ryan Gosling with Damien Chazelle.
Yeah, after La La Land.
After La La Land. And it tells the story of Neil Armstrong and his journey towards being essentially the first man to take a step on the surface of the moon.
It's the true story, basically. Yeah.
Basically the true story.
Inspired by true events.
Yeah. You did that really well, kind of like the trailer voice. It was very, very good. Okay, so really dislike feeling this way about movies.
Can I just say one thing? And I'm quoting another movie. Houston, we have a problem.
Yes. Houston, we have a serious problem. I was really looking forward to Damien Chazelle's second entry. I really, really was. Third entry, actually.
Third,
After the fantastic and raw Whiplash.
I love that film.
To the dreamy and beautiful La La Land, we get this.
Yep.
No, like, you know, it's funny. I want to quote, you quoted Apollo 13.
Yeah.
I'm going to quote Whiplash.
Okay.
There isn't a word that is more damaging in the English language than good job.
Yeah.
I think people have told Damien Chazelle good job way too often that I feel like he's kind of lost it here.
Yeah.
So essentially, here's the breakdown. The film's opening sequence is amazing. Right. Yep. The way the film opens, it's aggressive, it's captivating, but it falsely sets the stage to what follows because it's disjointly narrated and it progresses in a way that is very disconnecting to the audience, in my opinion. The characters drift in and out without much engagement from us. And it's weird to say this about a film, but First Man is cold.
Yep, absolutely.
It's just, it's cold. You feel nothing.
You feel like you're in space.
Yeah, literally.
It's cold as space.
Literally.
Yeah, like, look, to me.
And literally is being used the right way.
Yes, properly. Look, here's what I said in my review.
Yes.
Let's look at this movie in two parts. Let's look at it technically.
Sure. Okay, let's do that.
From a technical aspect, I love the movie.
Okay.
I mean, the directing was done perfectly. The editing, there's these scenes, as you said, like the opening scene where it's very intense, or any scene where they're in the rocket, you feel claustrophobic. You feel like the rocket is going to blow up at any point and you're going to blow up with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it does that very well. And Gosling and Foy deliver good performances. But the issue, the biggest issue, and you said cold, I say lack of heart.
Yeah.
This movie has no heart.
Zero heart.
We're not going to spoil anything because this is a true story. We know that a lot of people died prior to going to the moon on the space mission.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not give a crap about anyone.
Right.
I'm the type of person that gets emotionally involved in a movie in a heartbeat, and you'll see me cry, and you've seen me cry a bunch of times.
Throwback to A Star Is Born.
Oh my God.
I mean,
yeah, Kleenex, sponsored by Kleenex.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this movie did nothing to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some very nice visuals. The CGI is really good. I mean,
you
don't know what's real and what's CGI.
Absolutely.
So
you really could not tell what was a practical effect and what was a visual effect. You really could not. Yeah. And for that, you have to applaud Chazelle.
Yeah.
But again, because you're saying this, experience seems to be what Chazelle was really prioritizing in this movie and not story.
Yeah.
When you look at the film as a whole, it's really easy to deduce that Chazelle, much like, and you know, this is something that I said in my review, much like Christopher Nolan did in Dunkirk, it's more about wanting the audience to experience the struggles, the risks, and the hardships that astronauts and their families face, and what space travel does to a human body and to the human psyche and all that stuff. But again, it's this weird thing of, is a movie an experience or is a movie a visual way to tell a story? Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is something that is slowly becoming, mm-hmm. The lines are getting blurred. Because again, the only scenes where you and I felt engaged were the scenes that dealt with the space travel.
Yes.
Everything else on a human element felt very lackluster, yep. Which is very confusing because the performances were stellar.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, pun intended, the performances were out of this world.
Nice. Well played. Well played.
But they weren't enough.
It's not enough to carry a movie.
For me, Ryan Gosling's performance as Neil Armstrong, or the way Neil Armstrong was written in this film, was very pouty from the beginning. Mm-hmm. So he starts off in a way that is very he's already in a very down place. So when a character starts off at a very down place in this way, it's very hard to connect with them. You didn't get the buildup to this darkness. You know what I mean? And so when he goes to the moon and he comes back, the character feels hardly changed at all. Mm-hmm. The experience seems like it hardly affected him whatsoever.
Yeah, it's he went to a restaurant and came back.
Yeah. So, and there are moments in the film where the pacing from event to event seems very rushed.
Yep.
I.e. the opening sequence with whatever happens mm-hmm. with the Armstrong family. And then others that seem to overstay their welcome completely.
Yes.
Again, it's not a real spoiler per se, but something goes wrong while they're in space, and that moment lasts for about 4 or 5 minutes, or what feels like 4 or 5 minutes. Yep. It's just an endless sequence that really tires you. And whether or not that is the intent, for me, falls flat when I could care less about the characters.
Absolutely. For me, as you said, you have to be emotionally invested in these characters. You have to care. You have to give a damn. You have to be worried about them. What's going to happen? Why did this happen to him? Everything around this makes him, it's so critical and important. Mm-hmm. And this movie doesn't have that. Again, you look at it, it's eye candy. It's wow. It's impressive. But it's not enough. There needs to be a combination of both these things. And again, here's what I don't get. Chazelle directed Whiplash and directed La La Land. Mm-hmm. Forget that one is a musical and one is
about music.
But the characters he created, the characters he had, you love them, you hate them. You freaking hate and love J.K. Simmons in Whiplash. You feel so bad for Miles Teller in Whiplash. Mm-hmm. You love Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling.
La La Land, at the end of La La Land, everybody was in tears. La La Land's final sequence is so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And it's so beautiful. It's classic Hollywood cinema.
Exactly.
And this was, you know what this was? And I hate to say it, but this was show-offy.
Probably.
This was not, this was show-offy. This was a film where Damien Chazelle was, hey, look at my muscles.
Yeah.
Look at my guns. You know, this is what I can do. And I can pull some Nolan on ya. And I can pull some, you know, do some very advanced, you know, technical work. But again, this goes back to the famous quote that says a movie, is based on three things: story, story, story.
Yeah.
This is it. If there isn't a story, and I don't care that this was a biopic, I don't care that this was based on a true story. Mm-hmm. Look at what Steven Spielberg did with Lincoln.
Yes.
Lincoln, I mean, I was emotionally invested in that movie.
Completely.
Because the characters were beautifully written. This was flat.
Yep.
It was flat.
A testament that this movie lacks something. Look at the results in the U.S. box office. It came in at third.
At third.
I think with 17 million.
Under Venom.
Exactly. So it says something. It does say something that people are not maybe falling in love with this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, there is a place where you and I slightly disagree, though. Yeah. You liked the score.
I did.
I did not. I thought, again, it reminded me of Hans Zimmer's score for Dunkirk, because it was very repetitive. There weren't a lot of themes in the music. It was literally that violin, which we'll hear because we're about to, you know.
To play one.
It was a repetitive violin with a few melodic notes, and that was it. on and on and on in different variations, but it was those same notes. And essentially, this is kind of Chazelle's way of putting you in this, like, this is a circuitous kind of thing.
Yeah.
Space, there's no up, down. It's just, you know, circular and you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of circles in the movie, if you notice. The moon, the bracelet, the craters. There's a lot of focusing on, like, plates and all that stuff. So there's a lot of that, that life is a circle kind of a thing, mm-hmm. you know? A lot of moving of the camera in circles. So for me, when Justin Hurwitz creates a score like he did in La La Land, and then you give me this.
I want to say this, but again, La La Land is a musical.
Yeah, so but I'm not talking about the musical numbers. I'm talking about the score itself.
Yeah, the score, but it all fits in perfectly within the whole package of La La Land.
Sure.
So yeah, I enjoyed the score. That was one of the positives of the movie. So.
And this is not to say again that Ryan Gosling and the amazing Claire Foy did not deliver beautiful performances, but they just rang flat because I could not care less.
Yes.
So in the latest news, we're going to start talking about our news now. In the latest news regarding the MCU, the never-ending Marvel Cinematic Universe, Ryan Coogler has just been officially announced as returning to direct and write Black Panther 2, which is exciting.
I'm very happy.
So even though I personally did not like Black Panther that much. Yep. I did like it, but not that much. I am pretty excited to hear that Ryan Coogler is coming back. And here is why. Vision.
Yes.
For me, and I don't mean the superhero.
Yeah,
I mean the actual thing. So for me, I'm a huge fan of, stories that are told when there is a proper, focused, direct vision. So the fact that Ryan Coogler's coming back and directing the second, and not only directing, but also writing the second Black Panther film, I am really excited about this. We saw what James Gunn was able to do with Guardians 1 and Guardians 2. We saw what the Russos were able to do with Captain America Winter Soldier, Civil War, Infinity War, and now Infinity War 4, Part 2, which is not anymore Part 2. It's going to have a different title. Anyway, I love it when this happens because somehow the films remain contained. Look at the beauty of the Lord of the Rings trilogy. One director, full through and through, perfect. As much as we hate the prequels, the Star Wars prequels, it was one direct vision and it was very clear. The last few Harry Potter films had a direct vision. It was the same director coming back to do them. And now it's Fantastic Beasts, same thing. I like it when that happens. I like it when a director is able to start and finish or finish what he starts.
Yeah.
So that for me is exciting. I love his the way he uses the camera, his color work. So I'm excited. This is exciting for me.
Yeah. I mean, I think you said everything I wanted to say.
Oh, really? I'm sorry.
Well, look, I personally love the first one, so I can't wait to see what he does with the second one. I love the characters. I'm very curious to see what's going to happen after the events of Avengers Part 4.
Part 2, yeah. Part 4, yeah.
Part 2 of Part 4. After...
The fourth Avenger film.
Exactly, after Infinity War.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see what's going to happen to Wakanda. Wakanda is now open to the world.
Right.
That's going to have consequences. Let's see what those consequences are.
Mm-hmm.
Again, very excited to see Chadwick Boseman back as...
You can't have another T'Challa, man.
Absolutely. And let's see what they're going to do with the bad guys. There's Bucky, who's rumored to be the White Wolf,
right,
who might play a role or might end up being the next Captain America. No one knows. I like all this, all these questions, these things in the air, and I'm looking forward to getting them answered.
In a spoiler-filled landscape, the MCU has done a really good job of remaining very hidden.
Yeah.
And I think the more spoilery the world is getting, the more protective filmmakers are becoming of their work, something that is very exciting to me.
Yeah.
This is one of the biggest things that I like about Lucasfilm, and I applaud them for doing, is that they're really keeping things under wrap. You really cannot tell.
You have no idea
what is happening. So I like that this is also part of that deal. In other MCU, not really MCU, but Netflix EU.
Yeah.
You know, Luke Cage.
Yeah, they canceled Luke Cage today, this morning.
I just got the gunshot to the head.
Yeah, Luke Cage. I mean, season two was pretty good. And this is a week after the events of Iron Fist being canceled.
Yeah.
And last week we had talked about it, that they might
bring them together
because in the comics they're together. So now no one knows. And what sucks is I finished watching Iron Fist season two.
Uh-huh.
And Luke Cage season two and Iron Fist season two finish with a cliffhanger each.
Snap.
And so I don't know how they're going to work with that in the whole Defender universe, if they're going to continue with Defenders.
Right.
Now, I know that Daredevil season three
has been getting
a lot of good positive traction.
Right.
Jessica Jones has signed for a third season.
Okay.
The Punisher for a second season.
Okay.
So let's see how these characters intertwine, because Charlie Cox, the actor who plays Daredevil, has given some interest and has said that he would like to do a Defenders part two.
Okay.
He's on board for that.
Do you think that the Defenders might not have the same roster that they normally do in the comics?
I don't think so. I think they will still find a way
to bring them back.
To bring these characters within, like Luke Cage could work with Jessica Jones, because that happened in the first season of Jessica Jones. That's how you meet Luke Cage.
Right.
And Danny Rand, Iron Fist could be within Daredevil, within Jessica Jones also. So I'm sure they'll find a way to merge everything and make it work. But look, if they're deteriorating in quality and they believe that, then so be it. I'm okay with them canceling, maintaining good shows with good quality.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of good shows with good quality.
Yeah.
The duo behind BBC's Sherlock are now developing a miniseries based on Dracula. Nice. So that excited me. At first I was like, ooh, like a modern Dracula. This is nice. I kind of like vampires and all that stuff. But turns out they're not modernizing it. They're actually keeping it. It's going to stay true to the original source material.
Okay.
It's going to be set in, the 1800s in Transylvania. And in London. So it will be a period piece, which is also very exciting.
Okay.
They will be 3 1-hour long episodes, much like Sherlock.
Mm-hmm.
Not much is known about it as of right now, but it is greenlit and it is going to happen.
Is there any air date? Or no,
nothing
yet.
No. It could be in the next year or two.
Okay.
But it is going to happen very soon.
Okay.
So not too much of a wait. But as of right now, there isn't even cast attached to it or anything like that. But I wanted to mention it because this is kind of cool. It's really nice to see them, you know, trying to fill the Sherlock gap because that apparently is over now.
Yeah. So. And Sherlock was a very good show.
It's amazing. I never missed a season with a massive
following. So if they were able to do that with a character like Sherlock Holmes, I'm sure they'll do wonders.
I cannot wait to see how they maneuver their way around Dracula. Yeah.
Think it's going to be gory?
I hope so.
Because it's Dracula.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope they go for a little edge.
Yeah.
I really do. And as gothically horrific as possible, I really hope that that's what they do.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll have to wait and see. Speaking of waiting and seeing, Chris Evans recently clarified the tweet that he released. What was it, like last week?
Yeah.
Proclaiming, you know, his adieu to the Shield and Cap. So I'm going to read what he said.
Yeah.
But I have many theories about this.
Personally.
So I'll read it. You comment.
Yeah.
In case our comments are the same. Yeah. I don't want to steal your thunder again.
No.
So he says, and I quote, "I should clarify that I know I did tweet something that made a lot of people think that it was in some way a spoiler. I should clarify that regardless of how Avenger 4 ends, I would have tweeted the same exact thing. That last day of filming was an emotional day, and it was the culmination of almost 10 years of filming and 22 movies. This unbelievable tapestry."
Yep.
End quote.
We talked about this last week.
Right.
And I told you, because I had a feeling that tweet, the initial tweet, not his tweet, doesn't have to necessarily mean anything. I mean, he could be killed off. The mantle of Captain America could go to someone else, or he could, you know, hide somewhere and come back one day.
Right.
So I still maintain these ideas. And of course, when people saw the initial tweet, they're going to be, okay, yeah, he's going to die. And they don't want to do that. So probably he got some higher
guidance.
Try to scramble the roads and whatnot. And I think that's what he's doing. But again, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't kill. I wouldn't be surprised at anything. I don't know what's going to happen.
Look, if there's one thing that the MCU has really done right, is that they have been telling really good stories. Again, we go back to the idea of story, and this makes me so happy. They've been telling really good stories, and we have grown attached to these characters. And they've also kept us on our toes. Mm-hmm. None of us saw the events of Infinity War leading up to the way that they did, resulting in the way that they did. None of us saw, the climax of Civil War.
Yeah.
None of us saw the climax of Winter Soldier. We enjoy these movies. They're doing a really good job when it comes to these films. No, they're not anything Oscar-worthy. No, they're not anything, you know, whatever. But they're good films and you enjoy them. Some of them are way better than others.
True.
But they're good films. Yeah. And unfortunately right now, or fortunately and unfortunately, depending on how you see it, it's all a matter of perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, the box office landscape is filled with superhero films because they're banking.
Yep.
Those are the films that are making money. I mean, you have First Man, A Star Is Born, and Venom is making all the money.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless of quality of a film.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm excited to see this film next year. It's, you know, and next year's lineup for Marvel movies isn't that huge.
No. And there's something we didn't mention before, but I read today also in the morning, I forgot to send you this, Guardians of the Galaxy
has been delayed. Yes.
And they're looking for a new director still.
Not delayed in release date, delayed in production date. So it's been
couple
delayed
of years, I think.
Until 2021 to begin production, which is going to delay the movie even further ahead.
Yes. So,
the lineup for next year is looking kind of dry.
I mean, you have, I think you have two movies next year.
Yeah, Captain Marvel.
And Infinity War.
Yeah. Which, you know what? In a lot of ways, I like this breath.
Yep.
Like, I like the idea that next year, it'll end this phase of the Avengers with Infinity War. We'll get a break until the following year when things will start to kind of come out again and a new adventure begins in a way. That's what I think.
I agree with you.
Speaking of new adventures beginning, James Bond, who we've been talking about for the past 3 weeks, even Hod was like, do we really want to talk about this again? And I go, well, this is the point of NewsHour. It's to keep things updated and to keep ourselves updated with what's happening. And I know that James Bond is loved by a lot of people. I mean, I love the franchise.
Yep.
I've seen every movie. I have the 50th anniversary collection, you know, at home on Blu-ray. So James Bond is continuing to make headlines again. This time, it's not Idris Elba.
Nope.
It's not a woman.
Nope.
But in fact, an ex-King of the North.
Yes, a very
dead King of the North. Richard Madden.
AKA
Robb Stark from Game of Thrones and the Prince in Disney's live-action Cinderella. Has been officially spoken to. This is the closest that we've gotten, actually.
To something official.
To something very official. Has been spoken to by the producer, the same producer that said that James Bond should not be a woman.
Yeah.
Her name is Barbara something. I forgot her last name. But she's spoken to him due to his performance in the series that he was recently in called The Bodyguard.
Yeah.
Which is very CIA-y and all that stuff. So he was kind of like a secret agent and whatnot. And apparently his performance in The Bodyguard really impressed the producer.
Okay.
Hence this kind of reach out. For me personally, I think that he is a great choice for this. He's charismatic. He's handsome. He's English. He's got the physicality, but he's also got the confidence. And because again, you know, we've seen him as Robb Stark and we've seen him as the Prince and whatever. And I've seen a few scenes of The Bodyguard. So I kind of like it. I don't know. I don't think you're that excited.
I don't know what to feel about it.
Ooh.
Here's the thing. I'm not the biggest Richard Madden fan. I mean, I liked him in Game of Thrones. I really did like him in Game of Thrones, but I think that's the only thing I've seen him in.
Okay.
Cinderella, I don't think I've watched the live action.
You didn't see the live action?
I don't think so.
It's actually pretty good, actually.
Cinderella.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the live actions that I actually enjoyed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know. Like, I can't really imagine him physically as...
Okay.
Because I see him a bit... I think
scrawny.
He'll need to, yeah,
a little scrawny. But I think again, you'll need to buff a bit. All you need is 4 weeks with the Hollywood buff up regimen. And you're
just eating protein and hitting the gym 78 times
sooner
per day.
Sooner than later, so yeah. You're one of the Chris's.
Yeah. So I don't know. Here's what happened to me last time. When Daniel Craig was announced as James Bond.
Right.
I was also like, huh? But then when I saw him, I really did like him. I think he's probably my favorite Bond.
He needed to grow on me, actually, because I did not like him in the beginning.
Okay, I really enjoyed him in Casino Royale.
Okay.
And I think we'll have to wait and see how this is going to develop and so on.
Absolutely.
But I mean, why not? Why not? He's a younger Bond, which means there's probably more movies with this guy.
Exactly, and that's one of the things that I kind of like.
Yeah, so that could be an interesting way to look at
and
it.
And we've never really had a young...
True.
Bond.
Remember back in the day when Cavill was attached to that?
Yes.
Before Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig.
Yeah. They wanted a very young James Bond.
Yeah, I think we need that kind of rejuvenation for Bond. Yeah. I think the franchise needs it.
But I worry about one thing, that if they're going to make him younger, would they want to appeal to a younger crowd, meaning the movie will be more commercial and less... That's what I worry about.
Yeah, I mean, but again, during the time of Pierce Brosnan, it was a very commercialized Bond, and those movies did really well.
Yeah, but then you have the Daniel Craig Bond, which is a more realistic, more Bourne identity kind of James Bond.
And I think this was one of my main issues with the Daniel Craig era, is because it's very Bourne, and I don't want a Bourne, I want a Bond.
That's what I liked. I liked the realistic Bond.
Oh, okay.
I can relate to. So yeah.
Okay. All right. Well.
Anyway.
Continuing on with the news, with what is happening in the film and television industry, three very classic, nostalgic animated characters are making their way into the live action realm, and they come from the Warner Brothers collection. The three of them being Tom and Jerry and Scooby Dooby Dooby Dooby.
Scooby.
Apparently there are there is a Tom and Jerry film in the works, and there's also a Scooby-Doo film in the works coming from Warner Brothers. Well, that should make Warner Brothers Lebanon very happy.
Definitely. Should make Warner Brothers worldwide very happy.
Yeah, basically. Here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
I'm not really happy that they're live action.
Me neither. Didn't they try that with Scooby-Doo, by the way? Yeah, they did.
Yeah,
they
back in the day with Freddie Prinze Jr. and Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Matthew Lillard as
Matthew
Shaggy.
I don't know if I like this. And here's why. I don't think our technology is where it needs to be when it comes to CGI animals. In Jon Favreau's The Jungle Book, they were good.
Yep.
Planet of the Apes, they were good. But then you look at Peter Rabbit and they were bad. No. And then Alvin and the Chipmunks, no.
Oh, that was terrible.
You know, I don't know if they, I just can't see it. And then isn't making Tom and Jerry live action a little too violent? Like, you know, like it's already really violent as a cartoon. Could you imagine actually like actual ironing pans and ironing thingies smacking a cat in the face? Like, it's just, I don't know. Like, I don't like it.
I don't like it for a different reason. I like the format of Tom and Jerry, these 5-6 minute cartoons.
Oh, you don't like the idea that it's a feature film at all?
No.
No,
for Tom and Jerry, I don't think it works.
Okay.
Because the episodes were short. They were straight to the point.
They've made TV movies, though.
Yeah, they have. And there's a movie. There is the movie, the Tom and Jerry movie, where they start talking.
Where they talked for the first time.
Which ruins the whole mechanics of Tom and Jerry, because it's very quiet. Not quiet. It's quite loud, actually. But they don't talk. For Scooby-Doo, on the other hand, I don't mind, because Scooby-Doo had longer episodes and they can work with the storyline and some finding some killer and so on. So if done properly, That could work. Now, why are they doing this? Money.
Well, yeah.
Well, if well they have two. They're playing on nostalgia.
Because money.
Because nostalgia and money. Tom and Jerry, you know, our generation and even an older generation will probably go watch it. Take right. their kids to watch it.
Right.
So, you know, like the rebirth of Tom and Jerry. Scooby-Doo, pretty much the same. I don't know what to think of how they'll end up. I do agree with you on the technology part. Yeah. I don't see it being...
It's not. It doesn't help. Yeah. It really doesn't help. The one thing that excites me about Scooby-Doo is one of the names attached so far mm-hmm. being Chris Columbus.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Home Alone, the Gremlins, the Harry Potter films. He was essentially the one who launched the Harry Potter film universe with, what was it? A Sorcerer's Stone or Philosopher's Stone, which technically it's the Philosopher's Stone, and Chamber of Secrets, Home Alone 1, Home Alone 2. He's done the family entertainment thing and he does it really well. He's not directing, but he is a creative producer, which basically means he has got a lot of say.
But then again, let's go back to the beginning of the show. Look at First Man, executively produced by Steven Spielberg. So. Right.
Well, executive producer basically means money.
Yes.
So it doesn't necessarily mean creative input.
Yeah.
Whereas this, he is a creative producer.
Okay. I thought he was an executive.
No. He's the creative producer. He's going to be a creative producer, which basically means he's got a lot of say in the creativity of the film. Yeah. So that excites me a little bit. Tom and Jerry, on the other hand, I'm not excited.
Also, the director attached is Tim Story, the guy who gave us the first Fantastic Four and the second Fantastic Four.
And Ride Along.
So.
But that's for Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, for Tom and Jerry.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... also,
Chris Columbus, Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Tom and Jerry, initially, I'm not excited. And even with the director attached, I'm even less excited.
I mean, Ride Along and and the two Fantastic Fours.
Exactly.
With the Jessica Alba.
Yes.
That one?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That one.
Speaking of superheroes. the closer we get to next year, the more excited I get. Because not only do we get the final season of Game of Thrones, we're also getting closer and closer and closer to seeing the Watchmen series on HBO. Yeah. And I am super pumped for this.
Yeah.
I was a huge fan of the graphic novel, huge fan of the movie.
Yes.
Although a lot of people did not like the movie. I'm a big fan of the movie.
I concur.
Zack Snyder done right.
I concur with you.
And now it's fallen into the hands of someone even like whose creativity I absolutely mm-hmm. love, Damon Lindelof, who gave us Lost, who gave us The Leftovers. And this is insanely cool because not only is the cast freaking brilliant, you've got the likes of Jeremy Irons and a whole bunch of other like big names attached to this project, and Damon Lindelof. It's also not going to be a remake or reboot of the graphic novel. And this is what I like most about it. It is an expansion of the mythos of Watchmen and the world of the Watchmen. So we're going to see new heroes where they're taking the graphic novel as canon. So this is stuff that happens. So they talk about the events of the graphic novel Watchmen. But this is a brand new story that is being built here, which is exciting because this is a whole lot of opportunity. With potential mentions and show ups of original characters from the novel, but I like that this is kind of open territory.
Here's my only issue. I agree with everything you said, but my only small issue is when they take certain liberties sometimes with graphic novels or properties. It goes one of two ways. It either goes fantastically well,
right,
or it goes down the drain,
right. Okay.
And for something like Watchmen, which is very well written,
and it's very iconographical, iconographical at this point.
For people who are into the novel, I mean, it's like the Bible of
right.
So if they mess that up, not good.
Yeah, not good.
So that's pretty much it. But I am very excited about the show. I hope it's very violent and gory, like the graphic novel. So let's wait and see.
Yeah, let's wait and see. Okay, really quickly, we have like, we're going to try to hash these last two things out really quickly. First off, Rita Moreno, one of the stars of the original West Side Story, has been quoted saying that she is very nervous about the Spielberg remake because of the fact that Tony Kushner, who is the screenwriter for Munich and Lincoln and Angels in America, is attached as a screenwriter. First off, I'm already kind of nervous because this movie is such a classic. So I am a little nervous. However, the fact that Spielberg is attached and the fact that Tony Kushner is attached actually is one of the reasons why I'm excited.
Yeah.
Because there is a lot of possibility that if the movie remake is done with the same kind of strategy that Bradley Cooper remade A Star Is Born, to where it is really relevant to a 2020 audience or whenever it comes out, this could be a really good remake.
Yeah.
Because the story is kind of dark as a start. And this is one of the things that Rita Moreno is worried about, is the darkness that Tony Kushner might give the film. But the, I mean, I was watching pieces of it the other day. It's still very relevant to this day.
Well, if you think about it, you break it down, it's Romeo and Juliet.
Well, yeah, it's Romeo and Juliet. It's
musically done.
Meets racism.
With Latinos and Americans.
Yeah.
I am excited about the movie because, as you said, Spielberg.
Right.
He's never done a musical before.
This is very exciting for me.
So I want to see how he does it. And, and again, with A Star Is Born, I love how we're like in sync. Bye, bye, bye. So yeah, so I want to see how he does it. I want to see what happens.
Right.
I'm super excited.
Yeah. Okay. And finally, the MonsterVerse keeps growing.
Yeah.
And strangely enough, I don't know why this is happening.
They've been talking about this for a while.
Yes. But what is strange is how excited I am.
Okay.
Because normally movies like this,
you wouldn't be.
Okay. Yeah. But I recently just saw the 2014 Godzilla. I actually watched it last night.
Yeah.
And then I watched Kong Skull Island again last night. And I really liked them.
They're fun.
Yeah. They're good.
They're not like the best movies you watch, but they're a lot of fun.
They have a lot of heart,
they're
dude.
Entertaining.
They have heart.
Yeah.
The movies have heart.
They're like, entertaining. I had a blast watching.
Super entertaining. I really enjoyed them. And the more I read about the MonsterVerse and what they're planning, because not only is Kong or Godzilla King of the Monsters coming out next year in May, but a year from then,
Kong versus
Godzilla comes out, and this is just like, I'm super excited. They're not Oscar-worthy films, as you said,
but they're
just a lot of good fun.
It's an interesting universe to look into.
And the Godzilla King of the Monsters trailer
is
one of the best trailers I have seen in a long time.
Yeah, the music,
visuals. Mm. It's just, it's so, I'm excited.
Yeah, me too.
I'm excited. And you know what? These two films, I wanted to mention this. These two films, Godzilla and Kong Skull Island, have something that I'm, from now on, going to label and categorize. I'm copywriting this. I'm calling them the three H's.
Okay.
Humor, hardship, and heart.
Nice.
And I like that.
There is a triple H, by the way, in the WWE.
Really?
Yeah.
Way to ruin what I'm talking about. Really quick, we are back now. We're going to be discussing super fast the box office. Yeah. It really hasn't changed much since we last spoke.
No, it did not.
Not a lot. So really quickly, in at number five is the new Lebanese Syrian film, Damascus Flight 2701, with 458 entries this week. It's total
No, 3,738.
Yeah, but the total for this week was 458, no?
No, that was just for Wednesday.
Oh, whoops. Okay, so then it's 3,738. Sorry about
and
that.
It's total run because it's 1 week. It's been out for 1 week.
Yeah. Okay.
So number four, probably my favorite movie of the year so far, A Star Is Born.
Fantastic.
With 10,156. And it's been out for just 1 week. So let's see how it goes.
That's brilliant. Venom, which has been out for 2 weeks now, scored an 11,489 entries this week, bringing it in at number three.
Number two, Mr. Bean is still at number two.
Yep.
Well, it's not Mr. Bean, but it's Johnny English Strikes Again with Rowan Atkinson.
Might as well.
It's doing really well. It's at 12,421 entries after 4 weeks.
Yep.
With a total of almost 77,600 entries.
And still at number one is the one and only Nadine Lebeke's Capernaum, with a total run this week of 23,420 entries. This is its fourth week as well, rounding up at almost 150 114,000 entries in total so far. This is fantastic news. Makes me super, super happy.
And I think we'll see it at number one next week. I have a feeling.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think it's going to dip anytime soon. Yeah. There really isn't anything major to compete with it at this point, aside from A Star Is Born, but obviously it's fluctuating right now in the box office. On to our script to screen recommendations real quick. I'm going to throw mine out there. I'm not going to waste too much time. I'm going to be recommending a long-running television show, which I love. It is a guilty pleasure of mine, but I love it shamelessly. Supernatural.
Okay.
It's on its 14th season. I can't believe the duo is still on, but they still got it. Like, I'm watching the recent season.
Yeah.
I'm still laughing. I'm still on board. Angels, demons, vampires. I like it. Nice. And I love that they are still able to come up with stories after 14 years. It's a lot of fun if you like, you know, horrific, you know, gods and monsters kinds of storylines, with two fantastic, you know, bickering duos.
Nice, nice.
And it has a whole lot of heart. So
heart is important.
Heart is important.
And speaking of heart going from the moon to Mars, I'm going to be talking about The Martian today.
Yes!
With Matt Damon, which is such a fun movie. It's like Robinson Crusoe on Mars.
Yes, yes,
it's basically this astronaut that gets left stranded on Mars.
So much money spent on saving Matt Damon.
My God, always. And he has to survive while people from Earth come back. And I'm very, like, simplifying the whole story, but it's so good. It's so well made, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so well made, and he survives on his own, and he starts to grow potatoes, and it's a really good film. It's a lot of fun.
It's a very smart, smart movie.
It's witty, it's funny, it's got heart, yes. Again, back to heart. It's got action, suspense, Ridley Scott, I think, at his finest again.
Yeah, 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 after a few dips.
Yeah, yeah, you know. And filmed in Jordan, which was really cool,
yeah.
Close by.
Yeah.
So check out The Martian.
Awesome. So if you guys want to follow us on our social media, you can do so at Alamahana and
@.solo.
Those are Instagram. You can also follow us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/script2screenpod. You can also check out our website, www.script2screenpod.com. You can also listen to us on
Spotify and Remy, Podchasers, Podbean. You can watch us on YouTube.
Yes, and you can also tune in every Thursday for Script to Screen Conversations, my new spinoff series the show, which I'm really enjoying it. I'm really enjoying it. We've got so many more lined up, some big names too from shows in the US. So I'm super excited about those. Thank you guys really for joining us every week. The show's doing super well.
Yep, yep.
Like, we're super happy with what we've been doing. Our listenership is growing. We've got a huge listenership in Lebanon, which is very exciting. So we love you guys.
Thank you so much for the support. Really, we can't do this without you.
And make sure you go to the movies and support movies with heart, people. It's all about that heart.
Big, big heart to all of you.
Exactly. And cue the credits. We'll see you next week.